Yeah, making a progress, isn't it, in our sharing from the Book of Kings. We have a number of kings that we have tonight. We may not go really verse after verse, but we will be touching on the most important things in those verses. And we have here in the titles I have, When the Wicked Rule, the People Mourn. So it's not only just about the king ruling and doing evil in the eyes of God, but the people of they lead, also they suffer as a result of their unbelief and their rebellions and disobedience to God. And so leadership matters, actually. And so we live in a time where most leaders would not want to take the lead and to lead and to bear the burden themselves. On the behalf of their people, whether political or even like today in the church as well. So, but I pray that we learn from this how God would want to have His own people who are in position of authority to live and to lead their own people. And we know from the very beginning that it was not God's heart for God's people to have a king, but they want to have a king like the kings of the people of the land in which they were living. You see, so they thought like that. But God said to them, well, you are rejecting me, but I remember that you will have kings and they will not be perfect. And if we have a good kings, it is out of His mercy. Those people, if they had good kings, it was out of God's mercy and also even in our day today. So we have from verse 8 a king by name Zechariah became king in the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah. And so this man, he became king of Israel in Samaria, the capital city, and reigned 6 months. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord as his fathers had done. He did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. And so we are given the summary, this man certainly he did what is evil in the eyes of God. And now we see how he is open to the judgments. You see, it's no covering, of any kind. So we see another man, another king, another potential king rising, Shallum, son of Jabesh, conspire against Zechariah. He attacked him in the front of the people, assassinated him, and succeeded him as king. And so here we see, so what a humiliation, a king in the palace being attacked publicly before the eyes of very people, the covering removed, and here he is facing his fate without protection from God, humiliated before the people, and also judged by God. So sins bring judgments, and sometimes it's so brutal. And it is right for us to say this because we see how God also protected those one who had heart for God, and how they relied on His help even when they were open to their attacks. Even in the battles, they cried out to God, and God really touched them and protected them and withdrew them. And so we see here the absence of the fear of God. And so that is a great lesson, that when people choose to go this way, the first thing they interact with, they are open up to the schemes of Satan. So we need to be aware of this, and that is why the Bible encourages us not to give foothold to Satan. You see, whether in our minds or even in our heart, So this man was just publicly attacked. And attacking here, so is graphic, so it's highlighted. And so being attacked in the presence of what very your own, and no one really would want to protect you. And obviously this man even didn't march with a big army. And so this man, he attacked him. So the word of, and this is in fulfillment of the word of God which came to Amos. So we got in the footnotes there in Amos chapter. We read that in Kings chapter 12. Chapter 10, 2 Kings chapter 10. So Jehu was promised that his children will sit the fourth will sit on the throne. So the word of the Lord spoken to Jehu was fulfilled. Your descendant will sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generations. First of all, this man is open to Satan because of his own actions. And on the other hand, also God was fulfilling his promises. So God's promises will always come forth. So Shallum, son of Jabesh, became king in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah. And he reigned in the Samaria 1 month. Then Mehanaim, son of Gadi, went from Tirzah up to Samaria. So he traveled a long way. He attacked again Shallum, son of Jabesh, in Samaria, assassinated him, and succeeded him as king. So we see here like a series of attacks and killings. So this is what I found as like a unifying themes here. And so why these people are killing this way? You see? So as if it's a method that God has used, you see, it's like to punish these men. See, sometimes it's better to fall, David said that, to fall in the hand of the Lord. But to fall in the hands of your enemies is brutal, is just the extremist form of judgment, isn't it? So it's something where a child of God would not want to be. And even at a time when we find ourselves in the territory of Satan, we find it so horrific, isn't it? So it's something not really right. So and God's people should not be like that. So we see how these kings were opened up to the judgment, and then God using when their enemies who were brutal and humiliating them, like cutting them into pieces. I mean, like attacking them, wounding them. Really, is so graphic. That is a method that God has raised to use here. And we could see if anything would want to persist and it says to be broken. Even in our days today, so it seems to for some that there is one particular method that the enemy would use to attack you. One particular way, whether it's draining your finance and attacking your health continually. You see, the enemy is specialized in using whatever works with you. And so maybe there's a fear of even people who fear high places. So the high places would be their point of weakness. You see, so here we see that. The other events of Shallum's reign and the conspiracy he led are written in the books of the annals of the kings of Israel. At that time, Menahem is starting out from Tirzah, attacked Tifsha and everyone in the city and its vicinity. Because they refused to open their gates, he sacked the Tifshas and ripped open all the pregnant women. So we see how graphic it is. So the methods the enemy is using, even like to kill women, is so by opening the pregnant women's. And so just is so brutal. So in the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Menahem, son of Gadi, became king of Israel, and he reigned in Samaria 10 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. During his entire reign, he did not turn away. Entire reign did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. And then now, as a result, that during all these years, he didn't turn away from evil. The Tiglath-Pileser, that is called here Paul, and it's not completed. So I take the name as Tiglath-Pileser, because I will pick it up next in the few coming weeks. It's a very significant figure in the Old Testament. So this king of Assyria invaded the land. And Menahem gave him 1,000 talents of silver to gain his support and strengthen his own hold on the kingdom. And so this part I want to focus on a little bit because we see this man to stay in power, he has to take a lot of money to give to this man. So we are told here that he gave him 1,000 talents of silver. They said it's 37 tons of silver. So a lot of wealth. And this wealth he gathered from his own people. And we are told here, every wealthy man had to contribute 50 shekels of silver to be given to the king of Syria. See? And so the people of God, they were not living under really favorable circumstances or conditions. So there is judgment of God upon them because they had bad kings. A king who wanted to rule by bribing other kings who were invading the land. So they are left to manage their own territories, but within the empires of this powerful Assyrian king. So under his watch, and so he has to comply with every demands. And that is why he gave him all this wealth that were coming out from God's people. So that's why when really wicked men rule, the people mourn. And so he had to do this. As for the other events of Menahem's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? Menahem rested with his fathers, and Pekahiah, his son, succeeded him as king. In the 50 years of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, sons of Menahem, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 2 years. Pekahiah did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. One of his chief officers, Pekah, son of Remaliah, conspired against him, taking 50 men of Gilead with him. He assassinated Pekah along with Argob and Aria in the citadels of royal palace at Samaria. So Pekah killed Pekahiah and succeeded him as king. The other events of Pekahiah reigns and all he did are written in the books of the annals of the kings of Judah. So here we see the common really themes here is attacking and killing and succeeding with power, but just through power. And now when we turn to the Old Testament, we see also God's people, even in the New Testament times, they live under really a difficult situation as well. And so we know that the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews was written to Christians who were persecuted in Jerusalem, and then as a result of the Roman empires who were brutal and really making it so hard for God's people to thrive. And so although the author of Hebrews is unknown, this book was probably written in the late 60s AD. During this time, persecution was a real problem for the church in Rome. This letter was most likely written to the Jewish Christians in either Philistines or Rome who were ready to give up their faith and return to the Jewish faith because of persecution. The book of Hebrews was written to teach the Jewish Christian that the Christian faith is better in every way than the Jewish faith, and all that they needed to persevere under those things. So the Christian people, here we read from chapter 10 of Hebrews, remember those earlier days after you had received the light. So they were Christians, they were believers. So when you stood your ground in general contest, in great contest, in the face of suffering, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prisons and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So here what we have here, we have contrast this with the Old Testament. The people of God there, they didn't have any other way to live, but they had to live under those difficult circumstances. And even those wealthy men, they had to give up all their wealth so that their king can maintain for them a relative peace. And so here, it can be very discouraging, isn't it? We see in the New Testament, on the other hand, God's people here, they accept the confiscation of their wealth because they were persecuted. They did not because they were bad, but they were faithful. But they were empowered. They were powerless, like the Old Testament saints. They were powerless, and yet because they had bad kings. But here we have the God's people. They have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They had the revelation. They knew that. Then themselves, those things, they have better things, lasting possessions. You see, so sometimes we may prefer to live under really good kings and good presidents or prime minister, but it doesn't matter. In the New Testament, we will face difficulties of different kinds. They might not look like the Old Testament times, but even in our days today, you see, we don't have perfect leaders wherever we go, but we are encouraged ourselves to press on and to believe and to trust God. And we are not to look like whether the conditions are favorable. We live under like prosperity in any form of any form, but we are called upon to persevere and to remember that we have received light. You see, we have received light. We have received salvation. We have received forgiveness for our sins. And surrounding circumstances can never take away from us this salvation we have. And so it won't be difficult, like it was difficult for God's people in the past, as they had bad kings and who were opening them up to all sorts of struggles and invasion from other kings, and also even conspiracy of men who were craving for power. You see, so it was brutal and was bad. There was no revivals. You see, sometimes we find ourselves, maybe we live under like similar conditions. Certainly people, Christian in South Sudan, that is what they see every day. That is what they face and they struggle with every day. So power struggles, hunger, starvations, guns everywhere, thousands and thousands of guns, people carrying guns to youngest, like 10 years old boys, carrying guns, and so killing everywhere, hunger and sin everywhere, and diseases, things like that, just simply because people are open up because there's no righteousness of any kind. And God's people who are keeping themselves, so they are struggling, they are suffering, and yet they are shining also. There are a lot of songs that they are singing. They are praying prayers that of God, and young people challenging also sin even in the midst of those things. And so I saw a young guy, he was like preaching to a couple, and he said, I hear a lot of people those people they used to say in their culture, if your children have gone astray, and you, as a mother, you will say like, oh, I've just gave birth to children in vain, you see, and this is to them as a curse. You see, and this guy said to them, yeah, you mothers always, you dwell on this, you need to renounce this, so you need, because if you come to Jesus, so Jesus breaks all the curses, and so you shall be blessed. And so if you want to continue thinking that way, I'm not part of that. This young man was declaring these things. And so he was here. So a lot of people are struggling, and yet God's people are thriving. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. And so that could have been the voice of the Lord to the people of God there. And like, do not throw away your confidence, even if things are so difficult and hard. And so we are to press on, we are to trust God, and we are to pray. And when things are so difficult, you have to use strategies. You see, do something, you see, and then wait for the times of the Lord. Do something different. Don't dwell on that particular things. And so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You see, that is what God is going to reward. So we are not going to be asked only of how we have managed good things, but also we will be asked how we dealt with the difficult things. So have we trusted the Lord? Are we trusting Him? Are we praying and crying out to Him in our difficulties, in our troubles, as if we are people who are living through these kings? you see, who were so bad. And we ourselves was no light, enough light to guide us. Unlike the days of Hezekiah, we will come through that. You see, that is another thing together. You see, and certainly that is what is right, and what that is the norm from God's perspective, that his people will live really to enjoy his blessing and protection. He will not give them over. And so let us be encouraged, and let us learn from this text that how God really opened them up because of the sins of the leaders there, and the method that God has chosen really or allowed to be used was so brutal, was just so aggressive, and was so bad. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what has been promised. So you need to persevere. And persevering is hard, isn't it? It can take years. But this, as we persevere under these difficult circumstances that we face, we are built up in our holy faith. We will have the best expression of the Christian faith. So let us not lose heart. So we need this. We need the perseverance. So we are not persevering on our own. God is with us, persevering with us, because he wants us to do his will. Because when you have done the will of God, and the will of God is for us to persevere under all difficult circumstances. And I tell you, this is really a one truth that stands for all times. So how do we face troubles? Perseverance. Because God will prepare a way for us then. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. That God will not give any excuses, because he has the power to help us. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. Because in shrinking, the enemy will take a foothold and destroy us. But of those who believe and are saved. What an amazing word of God. Going through difficulties, do you see yourself like living under those kings? Do you feel like the Hebrews Christians then, who were pushed away from their livelihood, were living in foreign places, like the Puritans who left England because they refused to submit to the headship of Henry VIII, who wanted to be the head of the church, and they said, no, you are not the head of the church, Christ is. And they said, okay, you conform or you leave. They had to leave. They were professors of in different departments of human endeavors. They had lands, business people, highly educated, highly regarded people, but they chose to be poor. So they went, they crossed over to Netherlands, and for 12 years, the conditions were very harsh, very hard, you see, and then they decided to go to USA. And on that day, they had to leave behind even children, you see, because it was so hard, because they wanted really to please God. They didn't want to shrink. They believed that God was with them. And then they sat on that day, their preacher, they gathered on the shore to board a ship that will take them across. And they preached a very moving sermon, and they were all crying. And they said, now we are to a better world, a city on a hill, a city that can never be hidden. You see, this is the desire of Christians. These are the encouraging things, that even though we will never have a city on a hill here on earth, but we have a city in heavens. And that is why these things, they are destiny demands that we persevere and do everything necessary, even if we are to board ships and cross over, and not to submit to anything that is not of God, and God will be with us. And that is why you see the American, what they are displaying now is the spirit of the Puritan, the great, they claim, they proclaim this. They are not the best anyway, but we cannot deny their heritage. They say they're the strongest nation on earth. And so they boast about these things. That is the spirit of their forefathers. And even when they were sending this ship to the sky or to the space, they said the daring spirit of forefathers. And so these are the people, they look back and they see where they were. Well, look, we look back and we see our God. See? We have a God who is greater than the forefathers of the Americans. And so we, in our small corners here in Clayton, we are called upon to persevere and to be strong and courageous. Even though the things around us might not be that great, let us sing together.